This evening's sermon is not what I was intending to preach. Up until about Wednesday in this week, I thought that God wanted me to bring a completely different message. And then we saw something on the news, I think it was Thursday, that really struck me. And tonight's message has really been influenced and, I suppose, driven by something that I saw on television. There were multiple people who already had tickets to see Taylor Swift that queued for 16 to 18 hours to get into a venue that they already had a ticket for. And there was an interviewer from Sky walking up and down talking to these people. And one of the things that struck me the most about what the people were saying was how much they idolised Taylor Swift. And when you consider all of the things that you could actually have as an idol or as a role model, I'm not convinced that that is the best option in the 21st century. So there is a divine irony that idol worship still exists in the 21st century. Maybe we think as idol worship is something that perhaps the Apostle Paul experienced or whatever in recent history. But we think of idols as statues and stones. But there are other things that people make idols. And by way of introduction, the Ten Commandments that God gave us through Moses have never, ever been revoked. They are still applicable to us today. And the first commandments listed in Exodus chapter 20 are these. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. In today's fast-paced, technology-driven world, it is easy to get distracted from worshipping the true God. We can be pulled off in completely different directions, and something that even seems innocent can actually become an idol in our lives. Modern-day idols, they're not always tangible objects like they were back in Bible times, but they can be anything that takes precedence over our relationship with God. Here are 5 modern day idols that often distract us. Technology and social media. I mean, technology should be a benefit to society, should be a benefit to humanity. But social media has become a significant part of daily life. I mean, I'm sure even right now, there's probably someone who's consulting Facebook, the God of Facebook, to see what's going on in other people's lives. Or the God of TikTok, 20 seconds of complete and total anarchy, disguised as entertainment. It's become part of everyday life. I'm going to share something about my wife. My wife has various medical conditions that make it difficult for her to fast from food. But she has chosen to fast from Facebook. I should have given you a round of applause for that.
Except for sharing
scripture and what God is doing. Aside from that, she is not active on social media. The focus is for evangelism and for proclamation of the gospel. And I wonder, those of us that are involved in social media, how many of us would actually benefit from fasting from Facebook or X or TikTok? Would our days actually be more productive if we didn't allow ourselves to be distracted in that way?
Can I just say?
Yes.
Amazing how addicted I was. You don't realize it until you try to stop and you think, oh my gosh, I want Facebook. But God in his strength has helped me. But you have to be disciplined.
You have to be disciplined. Like anything, Facebook didn't necessarily become an idol, but certainly perhaps the first thing when you wake up in the morning, instead of praying or reaching for your Bible, to grab your device and quickly find that Facebook icon, find out what's going on in the world, is not the best way to start your day. It's not. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, I'm sure they can be used for good. I still post up verses, I still post up thoughts that are scripture related, but I myself am determined to avoid an overuse of social media. I don't want it to become an idol in my life. There are things that can take an inordinate amount of our attention. There is things that we can just, I suppose, end up sinking into. Materialism and consumerism. We are in a consumer-driven society. Even within many churches, there are far more passengers than there are participants. Far more people who are looking to be entertained than to actually worship God. Or if you think about the business world, the material wealth that people drive themselves for, stupid hours in the office, unrealistic and certainly unlawful business practices in some businesses, all driven because people want more wealth, they want more possessions. Their idol is financial success. It can overshadow desires for spiritual pursuits. And I know that there are many Christian businessmen in the world who attempt to operate their businesses according to the principles of the Bible, but the world gets in the way. Career and success, ambition, striving for success in a person's career, that can become an idol when it takes precedence over God. In the modern world, I think it's more difficult for people to take a Sabbath. Doctors, nurses, they have to work on a Sabbath. Tesco delivery drivers, they have to work on a Sabbath. They've got to deliver that food to the people who need it because they can't go to the shops themselves on the other 6 days of the week. There are so many things that drive careers that are outside of people's control. Entertainment and leisure. Movies, TV shows, sports, hobbies, all of those things can become idols when we allow them to consume more of our time than God, more time than the Word of God. If I took a poll and asked you, how many hours a day do you spend, or minutes a day do you spend reading your Bibles? Or how much time do you spend in prayer on a daily basis? I'm sure if we added it up, it would be significantly less than the time we spend watching television or listening to music or reading secular books or reading newspapers or doing Sudoku, if that's still a thing for people. Or certainly the amount of time people spend on Facebook. There are people whose focuses are on the entertainment far more than on worshipping God. And even in church life, there are those who seek to be entertained when they go to church. They want the preacher to be the most charismatic comedian that you could possibly imagine, giving feel-good messages that tickle the ears, and they don't want to listen to biblical truth because that changes the way that we live, that changes the way that we operate. There are many denominations in the world that are growing because they're no longer preaching the Bible. There's got to be something wrong with that. Relationships. Even good relationships with family, with friends or significant others can become idols if they take priority over our relationship with God. Family is important, but it's meant to be God first in everything. A.W. Tozer famously said, "Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to be." How many people actually own a Bible? How many people actually know where their Bible is at home? On your phone, yeah, I know. I'm talking about these things called books. I know that it's a very old concept, but yeah, once upon a time, people actually read books, not electronic devices.
It's one that you're going to stick to either.
No. I've got multiple translations on my iPad. We are going to have a Bring a Bible to Church Day sometime this year. Good. And instead of the verses coming up on screen, you will actually find them in your Bible. And whoever manages to find the verse first will actually get to read it out with the rest of the congregation.
It's going to be a long sermon.
It'll have to be a short sermon, but you know what my sermons are like. There's multiple verses in there anyway, so...
Is it all right in French?
Is it all right in French? Your Bible's in French?
Yeah.
The scholar. No, I'm just thinking, maybe those who do have different cultural backgrounds could bring a Bible in their own language. So if someone speaks Swahili, they could read the verse out. And then any visitors that came in through the door might think that the gift of tongues has broken out across the entire congregation.
Praise God.
Praise God. Are we allowing the enemy to use any or all of the items that are listed to keep us from worshipping God? Are we allowing things to get in the way? Are we honouring other things? Are we loving other things? Or is our love and our service and our worship purely dedicated to God? We need to ensure that God remains at the centre. And it is difficult. I know it's difficult. It's easy to become distracted. First point, the futility of idolatry. Our anchor scripture this evening is 1 Kings 18:27, where the prophet Elijah mocks the prophets of Baal, exposing the futility of idol worship. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "You have to shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he is a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming or is relieving himself. Or maybe he is away on a trip or is asleep and needs to be wakened." Elijah was a wonderful man. He's mocking the prophets of Baal. Baal was obviously a false god. And this is a powerful display of irony. Despite the worshippers of Baal's fervent pleas, their idol remained silent. And this passage really illustrates the futility of worshipping false gods. It highlights the emptiness and the ineffectiveness of false idols. Psalm 115, verse 4-8 says this: "Their idols are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, and eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, and feet but cannot walk, and throats but cannot make a sound. And those who make idols are just like them, as are all who trust in them." Maybe we need to add a couple more words for the modern world. Social media, celebrities. In many ways, people worship false ideas of what people are. I saw again on the news recently that there are a group of Korean pop stars, female Korean pop stars, that have become very unpopular because somebody found out that they had boyfriends and one of them was married. And apparently, if you're in the K-pop scene, these women are worshipped. And their fans seem to think that somehow, some way, one day, they will be united with these pop stars. And the bubble gets burst when they discover that actually, they're just normal women having normal relationships with normal people, and they're not goddesses or gods. The world is odd. The world is broken. Timothy Keller wisely states in his book, Counterfeit Gods, "An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give you." We know that God can give us eternal life. We know that God can give us forgiveness for our sins. We know that God will give us a place in heaven, guaranteed eternal life, because we've put our faith and trust in his Son. The world cannot save us. The world cannot get us into heaven. The world can give us temporary pleasure, temporary distraction, but the world can give us nothing that has eternal value. Consider the story of a man who is devoted his entire life to his career, believing that ultimately he would have satisfaction and purpose. And despite achieving success, he found himself unfulfilled and empty. And he realized that his career had become an idol that could never truly satisfy his soul's deepest longings. I worked with a guy like this once. He spent every waking hour slaving in a very big accountancy firm. He was one of the most well-paid accountants, and he was determined that one day when he retired, he would be financially secure and that he and his wife would travel the world on a boat that he had bought. The day before he retired, his wife died, and all of his plans were for nothing. He sold his boat rather than travelled around the world on it because he didn't want to go alone. All of the years where he had neglected his family, neglected building friendships, to build up a pot in the bank, which he had nothing and no one to spend it upon. That's sad. What's the Bible say? Lay not up treasure on earth, but in heaven. Spiritual treasure. In our contemporary context, idolatry takes various forms. Money, career, relationships, technology. All of these idols prove to be false. And we need to recognise the futility of idolatry. We need to recognise that our hearts need to be wholly turned and tuned to God. He is the only source of satisfaction. He is the only source of life. He is the only source of fulfilment that we could ever have. The deception of modern idols, the second point. Elijah's challenge to Baal's prophets not only exposed the futility of their idols, but the deception that exists behind their worship. In the 21st century, idolatry often disguises itself in subtle forms, making it even more deceptive. Colossians 3:5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. John Piper, he asserts, idolatry starts in the heart, craving, wanting, enjoying, being satisfied by anything that we treasure more than God. And that's so true. We should not treasure anything more than our relationship with God. That should be the most important thing in our lives. Not constantly checking social media, not seeking validation through external affirmation, through the number of likes that you get or the number of comments that people leave. It's Christ and Christ alone that satisfies. The quest for online approval, it can become an idol. I know for many people it is actually an important way to promote businesses, to share the gospel. We do it. We have a channel on YouTube to share the truth of God's word. YouTube is driven by algorithms. People out there put channels up because they want likes. I don't want likes. I want people to hear the truth. And even if only one person hears the message that God needs them to hear, I'm happy. Friends, we need to be vigilant in identifying and dismantling any subtle idols that we have. Even things that are good or seemingly good can be dangerous. Examine your heart. We all need to examine our hearts. We need to align our desires with God's will. We need to avoid the deception of modern idols and find true contentment in Him and Him alone. Third point, the call to exclusive worship of God. Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal. There's a powerful demonstration of God's supremacy that happens. And the story calls for us to exclusively worship the true and living God. Matthew 6 verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money, or enslaved to social media, or enslaved to following the life of a pop star to obsession. Dare I mention politics at this point? Anything that distracts us from God can be a problem. And I know there are loads of people right now that are worried about what may happen in the next election, but God is in control. Just pray that God will lead you to tick the right box. and leave it up to him. Don't let it be an idol for you. Tozer profoundly stated this: the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. We can limit God, can't we? We can put God in a box. We create a God that is a size that we can manage. But we worship the God of the universe. We worship the one who is omnipotent, the one who is omnipresent, the one who knows everything, the end from the beginning. Our God is faithful. Our God is able. We need to trust him. We need to love him. Many of you will know the story of Corrie ten Boom. During the Second World War, she, amidst the horror of the Nazi concentration camps, she remained devoted to God. She had an unwavering faith, and she had exclusive ability to worship God, even in the darkest of moments. And God sustained her. God brought her through, even the darkest of times. Times that are far darker than anything you or I will ever experience by the grace of God. I can't imagine what it would be like to live during a war. I can't imagine what it would be like to live amongst the others within a concentration camp. We get frustrated if we can't find a parking space, don't we? We get frustrated if there's too many people in the queue in front of us in Tesco's. We get frustrated if the postman is 5 minutes late. We get frustrated if, fill in the gap for yourself, you know what frustrates you. How frustrated do you think God is when we worship things other than him? How do we apply what we've heard? In our daily lives, we need to have God exclusively in the first place of our life. We need to prioritise our relationship with him. Yes, we love our family, but God must be prioritised. We need to reject any idols that are actually dragging us away from God. Little things, subtle things, or big things, whatever they are, push them aside and drive them from your life. Honour God in everything you do. Honour God in everything you say. Experience the full blessing that comes when he is at the centre of all that we do and all that we say. Elijah's confrontation with Baal's prophets really revealed to us the timeless truth about the futility and the deception of false idols in our lives. And it reveals to us the call to exclusive worship of God and God alone. And as we navigate the 21st century, let's remain vigilant. Let's identify what these modern idols are and devote ourselves to God. When we're devoted to God, that's when we will experience transformation. When we allow God to work in us and through us, our minds will be renewed. We can be transformed by pure worship of the living God. There are so many things that can distract us. Let's refocus our hearts on what's important. Let's refocus our hearts on God and be transformed and changed by the truth of his word. Friends, may I encourage us to commit to recognising the futility of idolatry even in the 21st century and commit ourselves to prioritising our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That command has never been revoked, friends. We need to live by it. And may our lives be a testament to God's faithfulness to us. Even when we wander, even when we fall, even when we stumble away, he's there with outstretched arms and waiting to receive us back. Let me encourage you, if there is anything in your life that's become an idol, repent and turn from it. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and know the purity that is your Saviour. Love him, honour him, worship him in all that you do. Amen.